welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next 3 hours, you're in Finland. Today is Thursday, November 24th, and this is Thanksgiving Day. It's also my son Andy's birthday, so happy birthday, Andy. And I have a cat in the studio climbing a stepladder and climbing into a cupboard she's never been in before, so it's a unique day all the way around. So we got several things I want to cover tonight. We're going to talk about the Iraq spat, the last week or so of recriminations and counter-recriminations, and the House of Representatives descending into parliamentary-type debate and catcalls, as well as the Bush administration calling other people shameless, which I think is actually pretty funny. And then we have a couple of interviews. I've got part three of my interview with Conchetta Stewart on leadership tonight and the role of women in leadership and whether women are different as leaders than men. And then number five in AOL Music's list of the greatest songwriters in the history of rock, I'll be talking with John Clark about Pete Townshend, my personal favorite among rock artists, and the guy I believe to be the greatest rock composer. So, a full night. Let me start with a little bit lighter fare, and a couple of items in the world of sports. First of all, the Terrell Owens saga is coming to an end. Terrell Owens, you may remember, we've talked about him, is the very talented wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was suspended by his team because he's not only talented, he is a head case. He doesn't seem to get the concept of team, as we've talked about, so he was suspended for 4 games, and then the team plans to release him at the end of the year, but they put him on the inactive list. They don't ever plan to play him again. He's bad for the team. Well, he appealed this, and of course, the players' union always backs the players, so they went with him into this arbitration hearing to see if they would uphold the 4-game suspension. Owens claims he apologized. He said he was ready to play, and he thought a 4-game suspension, which is the largest suspension a team can give a player for this kind of thing, he thought it was excessive and wanted it reversed. Well, the arbitrator, Richard Block, upheld it. And just to review the bidding, here's a few of the things that the Eagles pointed out that Terrell Owens had done. He skipped an off-season minicamp. He threatened to disrupt the team if he didn't get a new contract. They didn't give him a new contract, and so he started his disruptions. He refused to shake the hands of the coach during a meeting. He refused to participate in mandatory autograph signings for the fans during training camp. He ignored the coaches, including the offensive coordinator, Brad Childress, and of course he's an offensive player, and he ignored some of his teammates. And by that I mean he refused to acknowledge them. And he thought he could still play for the team, right? He failed to bring his playbook to a meeting in August. He refused to open his playbook during another meeting. He slept through another meeting, and he was late for treatment with trainers. This all happened in early August. He publicly criticized the team and publicly criticized his quarterback, Donovan McNabb. He violated the team's dress code repeatedly. He parked his vehicle in the coaches' parking spots and in the handicap spots at the team's practice facilities. Well, I can guarantee you the next closest spot would have been close enough. He just did it to jump in people's face about this stuff. And then he failed to apologize to McNabb and to address the team as the coach had demanded after this interview where he criticized the club and criticized the quarterback, McNabb. And so then once they suspended him, now he's contrite, now he wants to come back, all that stuff. The Eagles are done with him. I don't know if anybody will take a chance on him again in the NFL. Someone probably will, just because that's what happens with a talented ball player. But they are forewarned. This guy is bad news for teams, and so we'll see what happens. Happier note in sports, I want to tell you about one of the greatest college basketball games I have ever seen. So if you're a college basketball fan, you already know about this. But on Tuesday night, one of the greatest games in history was played, and there have been some great ones, and I've been a college basketball fan for 40 years, and I have seen a lot of the great games, particularly in the NCAA tournament. This game rivaled the best game I've ever seen in the NCAA tournament, and it's easily one of the five greatest games in history. This was the Gonzaga-Michigan State game. Gonzaga was ranked number 8 coming in the country, and Michigan State number 12. Now, Michigan State's a perennial power. They've won national championships, most famously with Magic Johnson at the helm back in 1979 against Larry Bird's squad of Indiana State. But they are routinely up there in the top 10 and usually have a great team. Gonzaga, on the other hand, has emerged. They used to be a Cinderella in the tournament, and then they were in the tournament so many times, and they upset so many good teams, you can't call them a Cinderella anymore. And now, the last couple of years, they've been ranked in the top 20 preseason. So Gonzaga is the number 18 in the country, so you don't want to underestimate them. In any case, Gonzaga beat Michigan State 109-106 in a triple overtime game. So, you know, an average college game, you know, sometimes they end 65-60, maybe 80-70. 109-106. Both teams executed extremely well. When they needed a field goal, they got it. Michigan State hit a couple of three-pointers when they needed it to stay in the game or stay in an overtime, and the same for Gonzaga. So it was really quite an amazing game. And neither team missed a foul shot in the second half. In fact, they shot over 90% from the foul line. And if you know anything about ball players recently, both college and pros, they're not very good at foul shooting. Some teams hit, you know, 67, 70% as a team. These two teams shot a combined 90%, a little over 90% of their shots. It was something like, I don't know, 40, they made 53 out of 57 foul shots. That's pretty impressive. I can't remember if I've ever seen a game where they shot foul shots so well. But each team also made at least 10 three-point shots. So quite a matchup, and triple overtime, neither team deserved to lose that game, but Gonzaga came out the winner, the number 8 team came out the winner, and just one of the greatest games I've ever seen played, and I just wanted to kind of mention it briefly. I guess the only other thing I want to do in this first section before I go on to a little bit of Conchetta on leadership is talk about Thanksgiving. So we celebrate Thanksgiving, we have turkey, we get together with friends and family, and we sometimes don't stop often enough or long enough to consider everything that Thanksgiving could mean to us. So I guess I just want to say the things that I'm thankful for. So first of all, I'm thankful for my family. I don't have any family in town here in the D.C. area, but I spoke to both my kids today, Andy and Joel, had a nice long conversation with Andy until he had to get back to cleaning the house and preparing for company and for dinner. We talk politics a lot, of course, and had a nice long talk with Joel in Rochester, New York, about, a variety of things. We talk a lot of things, computers, some politics, and just what's going on in each other's lives and things like that. And I'm just really lucky to have both of them in my lives, in my life. They're two great guys, and I love them to death. I also talked to some of my brothers and sisters. I didn't reach all of them, but left messages for a couple I couldn't get to talk to, but I talked to my brother Mike in Tennessee, and he had friends over for dinner. His wife is an excellent cook, a gourmet cook, and I'm sure she was doing turkey. And we had a nice chat about, a variety of things. His oldest son is in China for 2 years working for John Deere, so he did not come home. But we were talking a little bit about the business atmosphere in China, the changes that are going on in China, and a variety of things, and then how Jeff is doing personally. And then I spoke to Megan, their daughter, who was home from the West Coast. And she is a brilliant chemist, and she's working now, just got out of school. And so we got to chat for a while. And I don't get to talk to her very often, so we caught up a little bit. And I talked to my brother Tim in Webster, New York, my hometown. He was over at his son Kevin's. And I spoke to Kevin a bit, and I even spoke to one of Kevin's sons. Connor is, I think he's 4. He may have turned 5 by now. And we talked for a little while. And it was just great reaching out and touching family on the holidays. So I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters as well, even though we're spread out around the country. I'm also thankful for the country. You know, as we get farther into this tonight, I'm going to talk a bit about Iraq and about all the nonsense we're going through, Republicans, Democrats, the war, who's right, who's wrong. But we sometimes stop to forget, as we're blaming the other side and complaining about the other side and how they don't get it, we sometimes forget what a great country this is. Now, there are other countries in the world where you can have these kinds of debates. We are not the only one, contrary to what a lot of Americans think. But boy, do we have a system that works well. I mean, not that we get all our problems solved or anything, but I don't really fear a tyrant taking over the country. That can happen in a lot of third world countries, and democracy's fragile in a lot of places, but it's never going to happen here to the extent that a given president might overstep his bounds and take on too much power. We got a system of checks and balances that eventually fixes it all. So, you know, whether you believe the Patriot Act goes too far, or you think Bush or any president takes too much power to the White House, or you think Congress should be doing X, Y, Z, it does balance out. And we do have a system that allows us to auto-correct these things. So there are plenty of people think we're on the wrong course, from conservatives that think the Supreme Court should be making different decisions, to liberals that think we should not be in the war, to a variety of people that would like to see this or that changed. And all I can say is be thankful for the system we got, and then get out and do something to change things. Don't just complain about it. Don't just complain about the other side. Actually get out and do something. I'm also thankful to everybody that serves around the country. We always thank the troops, and that's appropriate. I'm thankful for the military that keeps us safe. I'm also thankful for the police and firemen that keep us safe, and for the teachers that teach our kids, and for everybody from the factory workers that make cars, to the ditch diggers that bury the sewers, to the cable repair guys that fix the cable service that we all like to complain about is too slow or too expensive or whatever it is. So this is a day not for complaining, but for being thankful. And I'm thankful to be living in the United States, living free, and being able to speak my piece about a variety of issues without worrying about somebody either coming after me or tracking down my tax returns or whatever it is. So it's a great country. It's a great life. I have a great family and great friends. And I am just one thankful fella. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Conchetta Stewart about leadership, and particularly about women in leadership. And then later in the show, we are going to take on a variety of topics related to politics, including John Murtha's comments or his proposal, and then the recriminations that fostered, and a variety of things related to Iraq and where we're headed in Iraq. The kids would all sing, he would take.